morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I am Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we're all obviously happy to be here today. Michelle and Andy are giggling.
Michelle's adjusting herself.
He's making me snicker.
She's adjusting herself. I'm all spread out over here because Kathy Houston is home with a cold. Andy, you have a tan.
Yes, bald head plus lots of sun equals tan head.
That is one bronze head. What did you do?
I was out in the sun a lot this weekend.
Really? So you're not using
I was away and out by the pool.
You're not using self-tanner then?
I'm not using self-tanner, no. Do you think I would be one to use self-tanner?
I don't think Captain Killjoy typically employs tactics like that.
Not really much of a self-tanner, but thanks anyway.
Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor, is here. Joe, it's raining today. Did you bring your favorite promotional umbrella to work?
I did not.
I did.
I had my favorite...
Did you just run in the rain?
No, I have my favorite promotional rain slicker.
Ooh,
yeah. Did you have rubbers on?
I did not.
Okay.
My galoshes are...
I brought my ASI radio umbrella.
That is an awesome umbrella.
That's the one I used to.
Love it.
It's raining here in the studio.
It's from Windbrella, and that thing is... That kicks butt in the rain.
It's dirty.
How about you, Michelle? Did you have an umbrella, or did you just run for it?
I'm vacillating between two. I have my ASI, the one from Windbrella, and then the snazzy new one from Leeds that they sent us.
Aha.
And Michelle doesn't run.
I was just going to say, I don't see Michelle running from anything.
Now, vacillating between two, do you walk with one and then shut it and open the other?
I keep one here and one in my car, so I always have one handy.
All right. Then we have our famous Steve Hawk, the Hawkinator, over manning the tech booth today. Steve, have you been brewing any beer lately? Steve brews his own beer.
No, but I've been training for a big beer con.
Training for a beer contest.
All right. And then we have Vinny Driscoll, who's answering the phones today. If you call us at 215-953-4979, you will hear his lovely voice. And if we put you on there, we'll give you a $25 Visa gift card. And Michelle, tell us what's on tap for today's show.
Well, we have a special caller today, Daniel Gogler.
Or Joe.
Who's the VP of Business Development for Printing for Less. He's going to take your questions about marketing campaigns that you can do in a quick and easy fashion. Next, we're going to talk about how travel as a method to reward top employees is coming back. Yes, it is. Next, workplace rants on social media, how that's become really problematic for employers. Andy's going to discuss how to avoid mediocrity in your organization.
Yes, I'm a big fan.
Joe will talk about how to avoid ruining your workplace reputation.
You don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that.
No. No, we don't. We'll talk about the 10 cities for new grads, which also are showing lots of growth, and some of the most annoying people to work with,
none of whom
are at this table.
I'm going to ask all of you and the audience to weigh in on who you would want most to be a keynote speaker next year at one of the ASI shows. So
perfect.
Get ready for that.
And first, we have Andy with the news.
All right. Thanks, Michelle/Joe. Top 40 distributor American Solutions for Business has refinanced its operations, adding $3 million in private investments and extending its credit facility with its bank through 2013. Check out complete details on the company's dire financial situation over the past year in Promogram later today. Giftware supplier The Encore Group has sold its ad specialty business to a private investment group. The company will remain in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, but will be renamed Express, which was previously a division of Encore. Supplier firm Jetline has named Michael Honig as its new president. Honig, who was formerly an exec at software giant Intuit, will now work closely with CEO Eric Levin. Finally, Custom HPC is currently exploring its private equity options. The fast-growing supplier said it expects to complete a private equity deal by the end of this year or early in 2011, and CEO Larry Wilhelm said he's interested in a capital infusion to help fund growth and potential acquisitions. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram later today. Joe, what are you showing off today? Michelle, don't answer.
Irish. You just got back from Ireland.
I did. Smart products for smart promotions.
Smart products for smart promotions from a very smart guy.
Well, thank you, Andy.
Well, we'll be all looking forward to that. Now we have a special guest on the phone, Daniel Gogler. He is VP of Business Development for Printing for Less. And since 2005, Daniel has used his extensive knowledge of marketing, search engine optimization, and printing to help small business owners reach their goals via Printing for Less services. And apparently he also has a dog named Madison. So we're happy to have him on the phone. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. What kind of dog do you have?
A yellow lab, actually.
And
there's actually several of them running around our building right now. There's probably 15 dogs that come to work here regularly.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
It's like a kennel.
Wow. Are there ever any dog fights?
Not very often. Dogs get hired and fired just like people. So.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks for calling in today. I know Michelle has a question for you.
Hey, Daniel. Can you tell us, I know people in our industry, while they may want to do lots of great and fabulous and creative marketing, they may not have the time and resources to do as much as they would like. Can you give us some tips or give our listeners some tips on what they can do as far as an effective marketing campaign that they may not, you know, that may not take up a lot of time and resources?
Sure. You know, the great part about what we do, which is primarily commercial print, is it's ink on paper. It's very tangible, and it can be effective and fairly simple. The best thing to make sure that your piece is going to be effective is to make sure that it's targeted, first of all. So really defining who your audience is, and that will help you make sure that you can make something that's relevant to that audience, and you can really spell out exactly how you like them to respond. So that makes the creative process go a lot quicker if you spend a little bit of time researching that right off the bat. And then you also want to make sure that you make a really compelling offer to that group so that they have the means to respond and they have a reason to respond in a timely manner. So that's the first thing to kind of take in consideration. The next thing, you know, really is just making some planning on so you can save some money and stuff like that. And the first thing is understanding, you know, what you hope to achieve with it. You know, if you hope to bring in new customers, your messaging may be different than if you're just trying to reel in existing customers that have already worked with you.
Great. That's perfect.
Okay.
Daniel, we had some Facebook fans write in with questions for you. Here's one from Lisa and Laura from Aspenline. They say, what percentage of your target audience during a marketing campaign must respond to consider the campaign a success? So what's a good response rate that people should be looking for?
Well, it really depends on the piece and what the mailing is.
Uh-huh.
Typically with direct mail piece, if you know, 0.5% to 1% is considered a great response. But there's a lot of variables that can go into that. And if you're doing multiple mailers and stuff like that, it will influence it greatly as well. But the biggest impact on your response rate is your targeting of your list. And one of the things that we've done and found highly effective is really drilling down to who your core customer are and getting that list really refined. It allows you to spend a little bit more on the piece itself and then also make the offer even more compelling to that audience because we know those customers are worth more and you'll get that return on your investment.
Sure. Good points. Here's another question from Melanie Avigliano-Schultz, and she said, someone once told me that if you want to know how effective your marketing is, just check the number of hits on your website. Do you agree with that comment?
If that is the primary call to action that you're using on your marketing piece, you know, that can be used as a gauge. You know, obviously, if your website is consistently getting a number of traffic and you do a marketing event or piece and you see a spike in that traffic, you can attribute that somewhat. The other tools and measurements that we like to use are even getting unique 800 numbers, so when people call in from your marketing piece, you can track back how many phone calls you got from it, and then also using unique offer codes and stuff like that. Mention this code and you get something off of your next order or something like that is a great way to track your performance.
Daniel, you talked about the importance of targeting and, you know, specifically sending your marketing messages to a specific audience. How can you suggest that distributors go about deciding who they want to target and sort of what markets they want to go after?
Sure. The best way to decide who you want to target is, I think, is to look at your existing customer base. Who do you do well with right now? What do those businesses look like? And it maybe you just look at the industry, or maybe you look at like the size of the internal demographics of those companies that you're currently working with. To kind of get a better idea of who your real core customer are and how your value proposition serves them best.
Daniel, I have a question. I just did a session at our New York show on self-promotion campaigns, and a lot of the people in the room said that they feel as though when they do a self-promotion campaign, their job is done. What's your stance on that? Do you think that people need to do follow-up in addition to doing the self-promotion campaign?
Definitely. The one-shot and done approach is obviously your least effective method. Whether there's multiple ways you can do it, what we like to do a lot of times, and we've seen great success from this, is doing what we call an integrated campaign. So you're doing a direct mail piece, an email, and maybe another direct mail piece, and then also having one of your sales reps actually reach out to the people on the list as well. it makes that initial call. It warms up if it's a new contact, so it's kind of like a cold call. They're not so cold. If they're an existing customer or something like that, they already have the information. Plus, some of them will automatically flow into your system as well.
All right, and here's one last question from one of our Facebook fans, Carol Simoli. And she says, if someone is just starting out and they are setting up a marketing budget, how would you suggest they come up with the final amount? So, you know, how do they decide how much to spend on marketing their first year?
Sure. Basically, what you need to do is determine what your return will be, what your expected return is, and kind of work it backwards from there. You know, if you know what a customer is worth to you, you can figure out how many pieces you'll have to spend based on approximate response rate. And I would start conservative initially. You know, you can start with a half percent response rate to just a plain mailer. But if you're doing more integrated things, like I mentioned before, you know, you could get up to 1.5 to 2% response rate is typical. So if you can basically work the math backwards to figure out how much you should set up for a budget based on your planning and financial goals.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much. We're really happy to have you on the show today, and we appreciate all the answers to the questions.
Thanks a lot. If you guys have more questions, feel free to have contact me. You can reach me at 800-930-3938 here at Printing for Less. We're always happy to help with your direct mail questions and stuff like that.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Daniel.
All right, thank you. Bye.
All right, we're going to continue talking about marketing for a few minutes. You can call us at 215-953-4979. Ask any questions you have about any marketing challenges that are going on right now. And, of course, if we put you on the air, we'll give you a $25 Visa gift card. We've already got a couple callers online, too, this morning. We have Julie. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, everybody.
Hi there. You have a marketing question today?
Yes. It has to do with self-promos as well. How often should I suggest to my clients that they do self-promo campaigns? Is it something like every month or every quarter?
I think every quarter. Every month is too much. You don't need to do it that often. But certainly every quarter really gets the message across and keeps you fresh in your client's mind or prospect's minds.
Yeah, and frequency is good. I mean, I think some distributors make the mistake that they just send out one and think, okay, and just wait for the calls to come in. And certainly repetition on some level mm-hmm. is important.
But I think Michelle's point from earlier about follow-up is also key. No matter how many self-promo or any marketing campaign you do, you know, following up on the leads that you get is vital, and doing that in a quick and efficient way, you know,
and once you send something, what a great reason to call someone.
Right. Oh, it gives you the reason. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Did you get the thing I sent you?
Right. It's not a cold call anymore. It's
A warm call.
Semi-lukewarm.
All right. Well, I hope that helps, Julie. And stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thanks.
You can still call us at 215-953-4979. And now we have Sydney on line 3. Good morning, Sydney.
Good morning. Hello.
Hi there. You have a marketing question for us today?
I do. I liked all the information that Daniel had. That was great. And I was wondering if you guys, the hosts, could tell me about maybe some interesting marketing campaigns that you guys have seen that have really, like, wowed you, because I'm sure you've seen it everything. So,
I know we just awarded some Spirit Awards for Best Self-Promo. Michelle, maybe you can highlight one of them for us.
We did, and they are in the May issue of Counselor,
yep.
Correct, Andy?
They are.
There are two, actually. One was mentioned, again, in the self-promotion session I did in New York. Greg Mazzullo, who's our Person of the Year this year with his wife, Vera, talked about one of his employees did one where he just went out and bought a bunch of old shoes and stapled his business card to it and sent it out to prospects and said something like, you know, I'm just trying to get my foot in the door. Mm-hmm. And Greg said he was amazed, you know, how something, in his words, that, you know, sounds so, you know, kind of goofy. And it didn't really cost the guy anything. He just literally went out and bought old shoes, but it really worked. And one of our winners, Ed Levy, came up with a very intricate campaign, but it got him an amazing response rate. And again, that's in the May issue of Counselor, where he used his first name and tied it in with products. So, for example, he had a notepad, and it said Noted, and every word ended with ED for his name. So it was Quenched, again, ending in ED for a water bottle. Stuffed for a bag ended in ED, I believe. So it was a whole bunch of products that ended. He tied it in with the word ED. It was
very
really
creative.
Clever and with a double digit response rate, I believe.
Yeah, it was triple digit actually.
Really,
it was huge response rate. Yeah, there's another one that you'll find in the May issue of Counselor that was a digital. We gave like best digital promotion to, and it was done by Clayton Kendall, which is a distributor. They did this great video when they were launching a new basically a new service that they were offering online. And it's this viral video that was really cool, involving like hundreds of different t-shirts and produced in a very interesting and unique way. And it got about 2 million views on YouTube. So it was a very cool video. So the more creative you can be, the better you can stand out.
I would suggest that if anybody listening is going to be at the ASI Chicago show, I'm going to do that session again on self-promotion with some great panelists. And one of the people on my panel will be Ed Levy, who indeed won our award this year.
Well, we hope that helps, Sydney, and have a great day. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you.
We're going to pause for a moment for a message from today's show sponsor, I Promote You. But when we return, we've got some callers on the line, and we'll continue to take your calls.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
We are back with ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. We're taking your calls to find out what marketing challenges you have right now. If we put you on the air, we'll give you a $25 Visa gift card. I'm also going to open the lines to take your calls on any hot speakers you think we should consider for our shows, ASI shows next year in 2011. We've had a lot of great people in the past. Donald Trump. Had Bill Clinton. Oh, wow. Joe's holding up a W sign. Interesting.
Is that for Wonder Woman?
I wonder what that means. we've had Colin Powell. We've had Tony Robbins. A lot of great people. So if you have any ideas on who we should consider for next year, we would love to hear them. Call us at 215-953-4979. But now with the marketing question on line two is Matt. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
Hi. Do you have a marketing question?
Yes, I was just last night speaking to a country club. It's Springmill Country Club, and I was speaking to their athletic department head, and he's looking to promote a kid's karate class, and he wants to do T-shirts and stickers and such. But he also wants to promote the club itself. Now, I was having a hard time getting him to look at products his customers might like instead of what he likes.
Uh-huh.
Because he said himself, I'm bland. I like bland stuff. I'm like, your customers don't.
Right.
How do I get them to think in terms of what their customers like instead of what they like?
I think maybe if you show them some really effective case studies of promotions that have been done in their industry is one idea. Joe, you might have some ideas from the Joe Show.
I would say just, you know, going with creative ideas. I mean, actual ideas that you can do for them. Because I'm thinking, if you're thinking karate, I think of breaking a board in half with a karate chop.
Wow, Andy just got karate chopped.
So why not do a bumper sticker that looks like a board that's about to get, you know, chopped off? Just try to think of creative ideas that, you know, will get him thinking a little differently.
I think, though, as far as winning them over to what would be better for the clientele rather than the person buying the products, I think that the case studies is a good idea. I think if you show people, Matt, how successful they can be, that will you know, take the lead rather than what they just want to do. If they see how successful their business can ultimately be, maybe they'll cede their own concerns, you know, in deference to, you know, that they can get, you know, great business from that.
Maybe you can canvas. I don't know if, I mean, I guess the karate class is targeting kids. Maybe you can canvas a bunch of kids and ask them, you know, show them some different products and, you know, bring the evidence to the guy and show them what kids are looking for.
Yeah, and you know, of course, you're just doing something bland. It's just throwing money away. You might as well just put an ad in the paper. If they come to Spring Bills for karate, you know, lessons.
Well, good luck. I hope we've given you some advice. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card. Thanks for calling.
I have one more question.
Uh-huh.
Where can I find case studies?
Oh, lots of good sources. Successful Promotions magazine, which is one of ASI's magazines, has, you know, 7 or 8 case studies every month in all different industries. So that's one source. And Advantages magazine every month also has a section called Success Stories, where they have 4 or 5 different case studies every month. So
Online. On ASICentral.com?
Yeah, or AdvantagesMag.com. Are some good sources. So good luck.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. On line one, we have Stanley. Good morning, Stanley.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, this is our favorite Stanley from California.
Yes. A comment on the guy with the martial arts thing. We just did one where we promoted a martial arts dojo. We took pieces of wood, boards that you would break. We silk screened one side of it, and after we'd done silk screen it, which was the promotion for the thing, then we actually broke them in half, and they sent those broken pieces to the people they wanted to target, the classes, the schools, and some of the other people, and it worked out really cool.
I like that.
Oh, great idea.
Yeah. But and also you were asking for speakers. I heard Colin Powell speaking on leadership and running groups of people and dealing with management, and he was one of the most intriguing speakers I've ever heard. He doesn't get into his political views. He just sticks to leadership and how to govern people. It was an amazing, it's amazing to listen to that man speak.
You know, we've actually had him in Orlando this year, and we had him in Orlando 3 years ago, and both times he, is one of our highest-rated speakers, so he's great. Any other names in that arena that you would love to see?
Well, when I spoke to him, he just kept talking about Melinda Lagos, Melinda this, Melinda.
Yes, I'm sure he and I are very tight.
There you go. You'll be our keynote speaker.
But the question I had today was funny self-promotion versus serious self-promotion. They've got those giant pencils that people can sometimes write, please pencil me in, or... I mean, what are your thoughts about that, funny versus serious?
I think it depends who you're targeting and what your personality is like. If you're not a funny guy, I wouldn't try to be, uncharacteristically funny in your promos. Again, I think it depends on the audience that you're trying to reach. I think that some campaigns done well that are funny are great and are wildly successful because they employ really great humor.
Well, Stanley seems pretty funny. I think he can pull it off.
He is funny because he suggested you as the keynote speaker.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Stanley. I'll stay on the line for your Visa gift card. If you have any other ideas, anyone listening on who should speak at an ASI show next year, weigh in right now, 215-953-4979. And in the meantime, Michelle is going to talk about how workplace rants on social media is problematic for employers. What do you got there?
You went out of order.
Yeah, that's okay. Remember how I've always said that I find
shake you guys up.
Online social media is a scourge? Yes, it's turning out I'm right.
You're tweeting up a storm, but go on.
Be that as it may, Facebook is the real culprit here. I'm going to put this whole article online because there's a lot of really great points for companies that you need to be diligent and you need to look out for. But the main points are... The experts say information on Twitter and Facebook can spread like an infectious disease. You get this escalation and it can create an avalanche of negative press. Who remembers last year the incident with the Domino's pizza?
I do.
Yes,
I
with
do.
The employees. That was a
with
big
the guy
problem.
Peed on the pizza. And
he did. He defiled the pizza dough in some weirdo way. But it was really
it was
an online viral. Out. I mean, yeah. It was all over the place, right? Mm. Here's the problem, and I'm going to give you a little case history. So,
don't pee on pizzas.
There's a problem beyond peeing on a pizza.
Well, don't videotape it and put it onto YouTube.
In a groundbreaking case last year, servers at a Houston's restaurant launched a password-protected MySpace group where they could vent about work. Sometimes the online remarks became offensive and sexual. A manager gained access to the MySpace group and began monitoring the post. He fired the servers, okay, who responded by filing a privacy lawsuit against the company. Guess who won?
The
servers.
The employees.
Yeah.
The employees
But why would
won.
You do that?
The server said they were just joking, according to court documents, and a New Jersey jury sided with the employees and found the company was guilty of violating privacy laws. Okay? So in this article, again, that I'm going to post, I think it's important that everybody should read it. The main point here is that, number one, companies have to have a social online networking policy in place and make sure that every employee knows about it and has read it and has signed off on it.
But here's a question. So if the company had a policy in place, those people still could have done that, though.
Well, another point that they make is that it's kind of like, the Wild West. This is all going to be decided in the courts at some point between the next 5 and 10 years. So there will be more definitive and easier to understand laws
in
place.
Meantime,
I'm not sure. I think they still might have been able to do that because it was a password protected area of a site.
Right.
So that means they went out of their way to get in it and was probably private.
Right. But you could still protect yourself.
Totally. You could. And a good rule of thumb for employees who may not know, should I post this? Should I not? The rule of thumb is if you wouldn't want it to be seen in the LA Times on the front page or the New York Times, don't post it.
Well, also, if you're asking yourself the question, should I post this or not? Just don't post it.
Yeah. It's like when you're writing an email.
If you have hesitation, Just stop.
When you're writing an email to someone to complain about something, then you stop it and you're like, you know right. what? I should call this person. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Michelle.
You're
all
welcome.
Right. So instead of travel were two bad words last year, but apparently they're making a comeback as a top reward for employees.
So, that'd be me.
Right back to you, Michelle.
So tell us about that, Michelle.
Incentive travel is back. Yes, last year it would have been considered extravagant in the midst of the steep economic downturn, but companies are increasingly emboldened to once again reward their best employees and representatives with motivational trips, the incentive travel experts say. This time around, though, excursions are likely to be shorter, less expensive, and more focused on public service than pampering. Maritz Travel says so far this year they've seen a 63% increase in proposals for such travel initiatives. So people are really bumping up their travel efforts, which is good news for this industry, as people do a lot of ancillary promotional products for travel.
It's totally. Big. I was at the Recognition Professionals International Conference last month, and travel is back big time. And, you know, I think people realized that, when people criticized some of the boondoggles from last year, that those were top executives taking trips. Average incentive travel recipient is, you know, a middle manager, hard worker at a company, and those people now, again, are being recognized. And it is a great opportunity for distributors. Think of all the things that go along, products that go along with promoting yeah. and holding an incentive trip. So that's good. Okay, so speakers in ASI shows next year. A lot of big names being batted around. Do you guys have any favorites? We're going to send out a survey this week. We've got some names on it, like James Cameron, Bill O'Reilly.
Ooh, yeah.
wow.
Ooh, yeah, he says.
Joe just put down his big W and said, ooh, yeah.
I think it would be interesting.
Bill O'Reilly, we've got – have you guys read the book Freakonomics? The
yes.
Stevens yep. wrote that book. Bill Collins, who wrote Jim. Good to Great. Jim Collins. I'm sorry, I was thinking of Bill O'Reilly still. Jim Collins, who wrote Good to Great, is a possibility. Who
He's a great speaker.
Considering.
I saw him once a couple years ago.
And now he's great.
Now he's great. You're right. Good point, Joe. He took his own advice, became great. He is so engaging and uses like a tremendous amount of case studies. So his whole book, Good to Great, is based on companies that have used certain management strategies to become great, obviously. And he uses all those case studies in his speech. So he's really cool.
I think James Cameron would be great because I think not only is he wildly creative and he's an innovator, but, you know, people told him that he couldn't do certain things throughout his career. You know, people scoffed at him when he wanted to invent this new technology, which he ended up filming Avatar with. And he just plowed ahead and did it. And I think he's a great example of somebody who's
a very timely example, I'd say.
Yeah.
He's creative, but I think he's boring as hell to hear speak. I mean, he's
Have you chatted with him?
No, but
did
you see
him on Entourage?
If you see any interviews with him, I would just want to go to sleep.
Okay, so that's a thumbs down from Andy, but a thumbs up from Michelle. Laura Bush is another one on the list.
I like her.
Hot right now. You like her?
Yeah.
Do you like her?
Be cool.
Like her?
Well, sure.
I would see her. I would see
she's got a lot of buzz right now. She just came out with a great book. She's all over the place. And we also, Jack Welch is another one that is going to be on the list to survey. Joe, what do you think about Jack?
Oh, I like him.
Who's your favorite on the whole list that we
On the
said?
Whole list, I think Bill O'Reilly would be very interesting.
Why is that?
I just think that he's got strong views, and he's not afraid to let people know what he thinks. And, you know, he's a man of conviction, so you stand by what you say. And I think that, you know, it would make for an interesting speech.
I think it's important, though, that people who speak really know how to apply themselves to this industry. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, yes, he is a man of strong convictions and political views. But like our, I think Stanley said, you know, the best speakers are the ones who maybe you don't know so much about, you know, who they're for, who they're against, but, you know, what they think about the big overall picture, such as leadership values and things like that.
Mm. All right.
I think he would be intriguing, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he'd be a big blowhard. But
there's that.
Whoops, that's
I
that.
Think he'd be entertaining.
There's that, but I think he would be entertaining.
If you agree with his views.
Yeah.
I would be interested in seeing him, and I'm not necessarily a fan. Anyway, feel free to email us at ASI Radio to tell us who you think on that list or suggest others would be good for the for ASI shows next year. All right, Joe, we're going to let you talk some more.
Oh,
tell
good.
Us what the top 10 cities are for new grads and growth.
Top 10 cities for new grads and growth. Well, there's been some surveys done by, and I don't have my reading glasses on, apartments.com and careerrookie.com. And what they did is they looked at cities for graduates because, you know, you realize anymore you just can't go to your hometown to be able to get a job. So they looked at things like how expensive apartments were, what the culture was like in and around the city, what the starting salaries were. And here are the top 10. Number one is?
Omaha.
Atlanta, Georgia. Number two is?
New York City.
Phoenix, Arizona. Actually, Phoenix. New York comes in. Yeah, New York comes in at number 7.
Right. I thought Phoenix was hit so hard by the housing boom that they weren't doing as well.
The average rent is $669.
There popular you go. They were hit so hard.
Good cost of living.
Popular entry-level categories are sales, customer service, and training. So rounding out the list is Denver, Colorado, Dallas, Texas, which is one of our top 25 cities for promotional products.
It is.
It sure is.
Boston, Massachusetts, Philadelphia, PA, our mm-hmm. hometown. New York City, Cincinnati, Ohio, Baltimore, Maryland, and Los Angeles, California. So there's a lot of big cities on this list. Andy groans.
Why did you just
I could never imagine living in L.A.
Oh, I love L.A. I wish I was there right now.
And there's actually one of the top five.
I love L.A.
One of the top five big cities in the country is not on this list.
Chicago.
Chicago is not on the list, which is
interesting. So it's not a good place for grads.
Houston wasn't on that list either, and that's a top five
Houston
city.
Is not on the list as well. So
speaking of cities, you got to check out the June issue of Counselor coming out soon.
You do.
It has the top 25 cities for promo product sales. And Andy Cohn was in one of them. Where were you?
I was in Boise, Idaho.
And you said it's really pronounced?
Boise.
By the natives,
by the
right?
The locals there say Boise.
All right. We'll be on the lookout for the June issue of Counselor. Joe, we have just enough time for you to rant. Now, you've just come back from vacation.
I have.
Surely you're not angry.
Oh, no, I'm not angry. I just find it interesting. You know, I've said in the past that I really prefer business travelers as opposed to vacation travelers. Because business travelers are very efficient, and they understand the unwritten rules of getting on and off
this
the plane, which you do on a plane. Well, we're going to Ireland last week, and I'm about maybe 15 minutes into a much-needed nap because we've been up. It's late at night. It's dark in the cabin, and the person behind me catapults me out of my seat.
Pauline?
She got out of her seat by leaning back on my seat, pulling it back so far that when she let go of it and stood up, I literally went forward and woke up. I had to stop myself from hitting the seat in front of me. Every time anyone in this row had to get up, this person was pulling on my seat. Just
did she needed to get up? Was she having trouble standing?
I guess so. And
that's
when
what
I looked
everybody
at her,
does.
When
they
I looked at her,
it.
She wasn't that old. I would have guessed mid-50s. It's like, here's the rule. Just keep your paws off of my seat, okay? I don't understand why you can't. Ready, watch. Stand up. Look, I use my armrest. I didn't have to pull myself up.
Well, that was really good.
So, anyway.
We even got a demonstration here in the studio.
Yes, you watching the video. That's helpful.
So, it's just, and then the guy next to us, it was funny because we had on-demand touchscreen entertainment on each seat, and he couldn't get something to work. And, you know, he starts poking and poking real hard, and the guy in front of him turns around and like, what are you doing? And I wouldn't have messed with that guy because he was bald and big and tattooed. So,
like Andy.
Anyway, when you travel, be in your business travel mindset. You know, it makes things go quicker for everyone, and it'll make a much enjoyable trip for everyone. But I had a great time.
There you have it. Well, all right. I don't know what to say about that. Thank you very much. Thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And be sure to tune in next week, same time, same place for more captivating content. Have a great day.